wonderful church. Amen. Praise God. We're all different. Amen. But we're one church. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. We can come together with our differences and then let the Spirit of living God mesh us together. Amen. And so today, the message for the new year is how do we train your human spirit to win? Yeah, Pastor Cece's word was winning for 2020, right? So how do we train our human spirit to win? So we're going to talk about that. Let's keep that up. You know, 1 Thessalonians, a lot of times people misquote it. Apostle Paul say, I pray that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved until your whole body, spirit, soul, and body be preserved until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he prayed that prayer for the church, he was praying for the essence of man, right? So guess what? What is the most important part of this spirit? A lot of times when we quote it, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. What 1 Thessalonians, and it's let me turn to it. A lot of times when you ask somebody to quote it and they don't have the Bible open, they'll misquote it. And you know why we misquote it? It's because we're body oriented. We're body oriented. I mean, look at Hollywood. What does Hollywood do? It tells you how you can be more beautiful, how you can lose weight, how you can be more attractive on the outside, right? But what happened is, we got the cart before the horse. How many know what that means? We got the cart before the horse. In other words, the horse can't go anywhere because he's wrong. He's oriented wrong. So let's see here. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, D, verse 23. Let's bring that up. And so today we're just going to go over how we can train our human spirit to win. You know what? Winning is an attitude. Winning is attitude. You cannot go any higher than your altitude. You know, certain planes can go up to certain heights and things like that. Yeah, the 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 23rd verse. And a lot of times, if you try to quote that, now don't look at the screen right now, but I want somebody turn it off. I want somebody to quote that scripture. I want somebody to scripture. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 23rd verse. Apostle Paul said, I pray that your body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then put it like this. Tell me what that verse says. Oh, you got it? Oh, okay. Okay. Wait, what's listed first? Spirit, right? And then what's listed next? What's listed next after spirit? Oh, soul is next. That's our soulish realm, right? And then what's last? What's listed last? Body, yeah. So a lot of times when you quote that, because we're so body-oriented, that by Madison Avenue, you got to smell just right and everything, and so you got to spray down. What we're doing, we're tending to our body. In our body. Our spirit, man, is begging for a happy meal, okay? And really. And you know he's not going to get no T-bone steak, so the body says, just give me a happy meal, you know? Give me a kid's happy meal, you know? He just wants some kind of nourishment. But we nourish our spirit last of all, most of the time. Praise God. We come from work tired saying, okay, Jesus, I'm just so tired. I'm going to just watch the TV for a little while. And the next thing you know, the TV is watching you. Praise God. So But have you spent time with Jesus? Have you fortified your body? Have you fed your natural body, but have you fed your spirit? And so we're gonna, you know, it takes training. How many of those, Minister Beverly, just about all her families went to the military one time in shape form, all her kids. And even she come from a military family as well. Her husband was in the military, in the Navy, right? And so, but the thing is, you can't go to war and not have went through basic training. Basic training for a soldier is how to kill somebody and how to survive in wartime. First thing they teach you, if you're not a violent person, they teach you how to survive and kill somebody. You know the easiest way to kill somebody? Yeah, I'm not going to do this, but I'm just going to illustrate. Now, I'm going to illustrate. Now, I'm not going to do what I want to do, but you know the fast way to kill you? Shove your nose up in the brain. In your brain. And so, but like I say, and I did it so quick, you didn't even see it coming. You didn't see it. They teach us how to do that. They teach us how to do that. When you're fighting a man, what is the most vulnerable part of a man if you didn't have a weapon? Okay? So yeah, but that's what it is. So, man, when you disable a man like that, he can't do nothing else, and you got him. And then you just, so they teach us how to kill people. That's the first thing they do. So what happens? You got to be trained. So if we got to be trained to be a good soldier, a good Marine or sailor or whatever, we have to go through training. We can't say I'm a bad mamma jamma and I don't need no training. No, you're going to die on the battlefield. So we have to be trained. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, they act like that last game they won, they act like they went to the Super Bowl. They were so happy. But I think that saved Coach Marone his position, his job, because he was going to get a pink slip the next day if he didn't win. And so that saved him. And you can imagine, he's real humble now. He don't try to say, I did, we did. He said, we need to do better, we did. But he takes the onus on him. And so, because, you know why? Because guess what? Guess who got fired? The money before that. The executive director of football, Tom Coughlin. He got fired because they weren't winning. Winning is everything. So even in the spiritual world, winning is everything. But see, God equips us to win. He equips us to win. So let's go to John, the Gospel of John, and we're going to explore this topic, how we can train our human spirit to win. Now, I thank God that in 2019 we had a weight loss challenge, right? But I think at the end of the year we had all kind of desserts in the Christmas party, right? But that doesn't mean we're not going to, keep at it, right? But sometime in during the holidays, we let ourselves go. You know, Grandma make all them potato pies and a coconut cake and like that. So I tell you, I indulge in all of those sweets. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to go back to what I need to do in 2020, because we want to win in everything, right? Okay, so first John, I'm not first John, but John, St. John. St. John. And we want to go to the second chapter. The second chapter of St. John. Now, how many realize that Jesus knew everything? Because he operated by the Spirit of God. He operated in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, right? And what Jesus did is available for us, but it's not going to fall like cherries, ripe cherries on a tree. It's not going to fall like that. You got to do some homework before you come to that level, right? John, the second chapter. Verse 23. And this is talking about Jesus. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. when they saw the miracles he did. And guess what? A lot of Jesus said, look, you are following me not because I'm the Messiah, or not because I'm the Son of God, but you're following me because you see me do these miracles. The Gentiles seek for a sign. But guess what? Jesus said, look, you only believed in me because you saw me do some miracles. But do you believe that I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah? Well, Jesus knew what was in man. When Prophet Bobo comes to town in Jacksonville and say, I'm going to come and there's going to be signs, wonders, and all kind of stuff happening by the Spirit of God. You know, if he comes, you know what? If he comes on a Sunday, guess what? Half the church would be empty because they're going to see the Prophet Bobo. Now, I'm just saying the name, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some of the people that have healing ministry and things like that. They'll not go to our Sunday service just so they can see. They're looking for a sign and a wonder. But when we are Christians, we got to realize where signs actually come from. They come from us. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. And Jesus said, greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. So don't look for a sign. Just look for the Spirit of God. Let him out. How many realize there was a commercial one time. They would say, there's a tiger in your tank. A gas pump. Let him out. Well, guess what? There's the Holy Spirit inside of you. He's aching to get out. Let him out. Let him out. Let him out. And so all we have to do is have faith and believe. But we got to be, so then 24 verse. This is sad. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Now Jesus couldn't even really commit who he really was to the people because they were just like the fish and the loaves. Jesus said, what do you come for me? Because of the fish and the loaves? The miracles you see? But do you really want what I really have to give to you? So, in the verse 25. And he needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What? Jesus knew what was in man? Let me tell you something. The prodigal son knew what was in man. Prodigal son, he said, Daddy, look, I'm going away. And he said, I want my inheritance. Now, he shouldn't have got his inheritance. Really, technically, Daddy could say, no, your older brother's going to get their inheritance, and then you'll get it later. But he said, no, look, I want my inheritance. I want mine. And he took it. He demanded it. His father gave it to him. He went to a far country, and he lived it up, right? He lived it up. He partied. But when he was broke, busted, and disgusted, all his friends that were partying with him, they left him alone. And he resorted to where he had to, now to a Jew, swine or pork is a meat that they're not supposed to eat. But we went to Mars's for Christmas and Carrie's for Christmas, and there was a Jewish guy, and we met his wife. His name is Andrew. We met the wife. What was the wife's name, baby? You remember? Okay, Jacqueline. Okay, Jacqueline. We met Jacqueline. And I'd made some pulled pork. And Beverly, you know what? I can cook more than just pulled pork, but they don't give me an option. Every time I go to Brunswick or whatever, and they're having a birthday celebration or something, you know what I got to bring? Pulled pork. Pulled pork. But you know why? You know why I got to bring the pulled pork? Because I take the pulled pork. What do? I get fresh pork. It got to be red, blood red. I get fresh pork, no seasonings in it, no nothing. And then I barbecue it on the grill for about 5 hours, slowly turning it. And it's seared all the way on the inside. And after that 5 hours, I put it in a roasting pan. And I cook it on 200 for about another 5 hours. Well, when I get through that, guess what the pulled pork comes? It falls from the bone. All I do is shred it. Put a couple of little seasonings in it, and then it's pulled pork. And then you can put it on a sandwich. You can make the white sauce, which is vinegar, nothing but vinegar, and about one fourth of vinegar and about 3/4 of mayonnaise. You mix together, you make that white sauce, and you put that on there, man, and put it on a bun, it'll tear it up. But anyway, so anyway, that's the reason why I don't have an option. When Pastor CeCe used to go and to an event or whatever, what is the dish that they always want you to make? Mac and cheese. We don't want you making nothing else but the mac and cheese. Her mother makes real good mac and cheese. But she learned from her mother how to make mac and cheese. So people would not let her do anything but mac and cheese. And for me, it was a pulled pork. So I didn't have an option. But Jesus said he needed not that any man should testify him, for he knew what was in man. He said, look, man, you're going to say, I already know what's going to happen. You're going to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then not many days hence, you're going to say, crucify. I don't need the accolades of man. Jesus said, I didn't need the accolades of man. I know what was in man. So the thing is that let's go to the third chapter right next to it. And we're going to read about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, right? And so he should have known a lot many things, but he was orientated not to the spirit, but to the flesh. Oh, to the flesh. Yeah, the next chapter, third chapter, John. Mm-hmm. The next is on page 1264. My bad. It may not be on your computer. Okay. Okay. I'd help you. Okay. Now, it says, John, the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees. Now, you heard about the Pharisees, right? In children's church, we say, I'm not fair, you see. You know, so, you know, that's how I remember. And I don't want to be a Sadducee because they're so Sadducee. Anyway, they were religious cults. They were not religious cults, but religious sects. And Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, verse 2nd, he said, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. You know why he came to Jesus by night? He wasn't too sure about who Jesus really was, the Messiah, so he didn't come in the daytime. He came by night, just in case somebody was looking. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So now he's giving him accolades. But no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So in other words, he said, you know, you must be from God. And he came to, but why did he come by night? Came by night. A lot of times, you know what the most crime in America happens? At nighttime. Because under cover of darkness. People get robbed and mugged and all that kind of crazy stuff during the hours of darkness. That's when the devil works, during the hours of darkness. So Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, but just in case Jesus may not be the Messiah. In the third verse, it said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we're not talking about the flesh. We're not talking about the flesh. For years, you know who was maintained her beauty up until her 80s? It was a light-skinned lady. Yeah, Lena Horne. She was in her 80s, and men would turn their eyes looking at her. She was in her 80s. So, but that was outward beauty, right? That was outward beauty. But the thing is, God wants us to work on the inner beauty and be led by the Spirit. But many as the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. So Nicodemus and Jesus said, except a man be born again. Let's read 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And see, Nicodemus really wouldn't think about spiritual things, thinking about the fleshly things. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So you have to be Spirit-filled to even understand the Bible. You have to be Spirit-filled. The Spirit of God will be your teacher and share you things to come when you read the Word of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." So, verse 8, "And the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot see where it come from, but where it go. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." When I got born of the, I was born again by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was born again in the Church of God in Christ. So they taught you had to tarry for the Holy Ghost. So that's what I did. In fact, they had a mourner's bench. They had a mourner's bench, and I used to come every service. I'd come up to that mourner's bench and tarry for the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what the problem is. And they loved me, and they were doing just what they were taught, right? They loved me. They didn't have any ill will toward me. One of them was saying, "Hold on, Brother Hicks." And then the other sister on the other, in the other ear, "Let go, brother." I didn't know whether to let go or hold on. Or... But they had good intentions. Because they had to tarry to get the Holy Ghost. So they knew that was the way you get it, right? They didn't know on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was freely given. All you had to do was ask for it, and it's a free gift. Amen? It's a free gift. So what I was, we had a revival. And I tarried every on the morning's bench all that whole week. And then one mother came and told me, "You must have some hidden sin in your life, brother. Just hold on." So I went. I was frustrated. I was saying, "God, do you love me? You're not going to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with evidence of speaking in tongues. So I know I'm filled with the Spirit." And so what happened is, I went to my barracks. I was in the Army at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I went in my barracks, and I had a roommate. I got in the bathroom and had a door closed. I got on my knees, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in my bathroom floor. In my bathroom floor. Praise God. But the thing is, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Once we get filled with the Spirit, then what happens is, God can reveal the hidden things to us. He can reveal the hidden things. So we got to train our human spirit to win. So how do we train our human spirit to win? Number one, we have to spend time in God's Word. We have to spend time in God's Word. You know, I thank God that we're in the most blessed generation that's ever lived. You know why I say that? I've done some things to this house, right? I don't think I ever called a contractor, really, unless it's something really like the roof, because I didn't know about the roof and everything. But the contractor, I think he's the only one that actually came and did something to the house. But what I do, I used to have to go to the library, read a book on how to put tile, how to do tile. And all I got to do is go on the internet. I go down in YouTube. Somebody got a video on how to do it. And if you want to lay tile, that's about 25 videos on how to lay tile. So what I do, the ones that I know that are real good and done well and easy to understand, I go ahead and save that to my favorites. So guess what? If I ever need to do tile again, I just go right to my favorites, click on there, and I got the video of the guy that's doing it. You know what the people's incentive are now on the internet? To put their videos on the internet? If you get so many hits, YouTube shares the advertisement that they post on that video with you, and you partner with YouTube. You get some of the money, and YouTube gets some of the money. You become partners. But every time it goes viral or you get over 100,000 hits, you instantaneously get paid. There's a guy that Maurice knows. His name is Tony Gatson, and he's a motivational speaker. But he told Junior, he said, "Junior, you need to get you a YouTube channel." And Junior said, "What? I don't need that. I don't need no YouTube." He said, "You know what he did? He showed Junior his bank ledger from his, he went to his bank and he said, look, I get $10,000 a month. I get $10,000 a month from YouTube because people hit my videos. Oh, hey, Donna. Hey, Donna. But you know what? So Junior, guess what Junior did? He made him a YouTube channel. He made him a YouTube channel. And now every time he puts something out, a blog, every time he puts a blog out there, Junior's getting paid. He's getting paid. Well, every time they get get so many hits, they start paying him. So Tony Gasson is a motivating speaker. You can Google him. And him and Junior hooked up at an event, and now they become friends. And so, but he told Junior, he said, no, look, this is what I'm getting. I'm getting $10,000 a month just because people are watching my YouTube channel. There's a woman on there on YouTube, and she, I don't want to call nobody ghetto, but she kind of ghetto. But anyway, it is what it is, right? But people... She has over 100,000 hits on every video that she puts, and all she's doing is eating food. She has fingernails that long, and then she gets a crab lick and she's slurping and slobbering. But everybody watching. Curtis told me about it. And I watched it, and man, I watched about 5 of her videos. She getting paid just because I watched her video. It's so ridiculous that I was glued to that screen. But all she does is eat food and smack and slurp. She's doing it on purpose. That's to get her more hits. But she's getting paid. So we are the most blessed generation that's ever lived. Now y'all going to be Googling that and watching that lady. She had her fingernails that long. And she can't even hold the crab. She get them giant crabs, and she cracks them. Yeah, she know everybody gonna look watch. She say, "Ugh, that's gross." And smack. And then she does it on purpose, just to get more hits.
This and that doesn't mean that she don't want to know
that. Yeah. But it's just ridiculous of what she's doing. But guess what? I ain't mad at her. She getting paid. If I could get a YouTube channel and get 100,000 hits, me and YouTube, we'll be partners. They're gonna pay me. I'll get a check. You know what? 3 cents don't seem like a lot, but when it's multiplied by hundreds of thousands, that's a lot of money. But anyway, so we're the most blessed generation that's ever lived, right? So guess what? If we want to know a truth from God's word, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to teach us, but guess what? We can go right to YouTube. We can go, what do we call it, that Bible app? Where you can, YouVersion. One is YouVersion. I had that on my Bible Gateway. Before, me and Minister Beverly, about 30 years ago, and we're not telling our age now, but anyway, about 30 years ago, if we wanted to do a word study, we had to get the strong concordance. It's about five times heavier than that, right? And then we had to get the Vines concordance to the Bible. We had to do a word study. We had to get about 5 different books and the Bible. But we still use it. But now all you got to do is get to Sister Tiffany. If I ask you to say what is healing, let's say healing, that's a popular subject. All you got to do go to this Bible Gateway, type in healing, and every scripture on healing in the Bible, you got it in what? In 30 seconds. But see, me and your mama, we had to work to get it. Me and Pastor Cece, we had to work to get it. So we're the most blessed generation that's ever lived. So a lot of times because of that, and young people, let me say this. it's good to have an app, a Bible app on your phone. But you know what? You know what school teachers say? You don't really get it until you look at it and then write it. You got to write it down. So when you get a Bible like this, and even if you use just that, get you a book. And then when God gives you insights into the Word, write it down on paper. Write it down on paper, because that's what sticks with you. That's what sticks with what. And write it in your journal. Write it in your journal, because you're feeding yourself. It's good to have instantaneous to the Word, but the Word that's not memorized is not long retained. The Word that's not memorized is not long retained. Oh yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. See, praise God. And it's been well used. Yeah, praise God. Oh yeah. Yeah, we got another. We got it. It's a little newer. But it's been used. Yeah. But Strong's Concordance in the Bible. Isn't that a blessing too? In fact, if you weren't really a serious student of the Word unless you had those Bible aids. Yeah. You weren't serious. You just playing with the Word. You just playing Sunday school. But when you got it like that, you was business. He meant business. You know what? My fence against Bert's yard, it basically almost disintegrated. And I'd been propping it up with boards and stuff and everything. Thursday and Friday, I got tired of it. I went in that truck, picked up two pieces of fencing material, and then he helped me hold it up and everything and helped me unload it and everything. But he was my hold-up man. I got my drill. And I used to be, I would get an old drill and I'd get an extension cord. But you know what I did? I bought myself for Christmas a drill set, an impact drill and a regular drill. And now I didn't have to have no cord. All I did is had a battery, and I drilled the holes in the fence, zoop, 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 and put them screws in there, zoop, 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 zoop. And it didn't take me no time. But I remember the old time, I used to have to get a hammer, and then by the time you try to hammer the thing all in there, the nail would bend, and then you get it. I drilled me a pilot hole, and to put that screw in there, and got it in there. And that, I'm going to tell you something, that fence now, may not come back and fall down until Jesus come back. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But I told my neighbor, Bert. You know Bert. He'll do anything for me. But so far he hadn't set foot in the church. But anything else, he always say, I'm Catholic. I said, well, I'm Catholic too. Let's fellowship together. You know, because the Catholics, they love God. They may pray to Mary just because they haven't been taught. But they still love God. They still love God. I have Catholic friends. But his wife is the only one that say, I'm going to come to church. But Bert always say, well, I got to go to Mass. And one time he told me, I'm going to Mass. I peeped around the corner after church was over. That truck had moved. Talking about he going to Mass. But I love Bert. We got a love for each other. I love him. I mean, he's my buddy. In fact, I hadn't seen him for a while. He went on nights. He works at Coach Factory. And so he worked from 3:30 to 1. I hadn't seen him for like almost 2 months. And finally I saw his truck there. And what he did, I guess he took a day off. But I saw his truck that night. And I went over and talked to him. And renewed our fellowship. And you know what he did? He said, Marius, I miss you. I said, I miss you, man. And he said, Arlene told me you was putting the fence up. He said, man, I wanted to help you. I wanted to help, but I work nights. And I said, no, I got the fence. He said, do you need to do any more of the fence? I said, no. Because he was going to try to, after church, he was going to come find me. If he saw me doing it, he was going to try to help me. He don't go to work till 3:30. But that's the kind of friend he is. And so, but I got me all them modern tools. You know, so now it's easy to work. It's easy to work. An impact wrench. When you put that impact wrench and put that screw in there, with all that power, it's like butter. It's like a butter knife going through melted butter. And what I did, I went to Lowe's and I gifted myself for Christmas. It was like the set of them was on sale. It was on sale like for $149. And plus the batteries. The batteries are worth they're worth $100. If you buy a battery by itself, the battery the charge is, I think it's $50. $50 to $100. But I got two batteries for free, and then the drill for half price. And I two, the impact in it. So like I say, if you want to do something around the house, get you a battery operated drill. Don't waste your time lugging an extension cord. I'm speaking to Tiffany. I know she already probably got the power tools, right? The battery power operated, yeah. Oh, she got you one too? Oh, praise God. Yeah, amen, amen. Oh, yeah. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. So thank God for what me and Sister Beverly and what Pastor Cece did to get the Word of God in our heart. Because it's in there. Now, Beverly was going to give her a word today. And guess what? She left all her notes at home. But guess what? It was okay. She had the word inside her. She just drawed on the word that's inside her. Bible said, you don't need to know what you need to say, but just speak. The Holy Spirit will give you words to say. And in fact, how many times have you been with somebody you didn't even know, and then all of a sudden you had a word for them? And it poured out like water. And then when the valve shut off, you knew to quit. But that's what the Holy Spirit. You gotta study to show yourself approved unto man. No, God, a worker that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you have an opportunity and the God has prepared that person's heart, guess what? You're gonna come up and you're gonna give them more, and it's gonna pour out like water. That's how you know the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it. Because you say, well, I didn't know that word, but I haven't really been in that word for a while, but the Holy Spirit, every word you hit in your heart, Holy Spirit will bring it back to you when you need it. But if you, nothing in, nothing out. Remember the computers? Garbage in, garbage out. When I fought against computers. I don't want a, you know, computer. I was in the Army because I had soldiers and I made my soldiers do all of the computer work. I just walked around barking orders, right? But they made me get a computer, so I got a computer, a laptop, and I had it on, and I had to do everything on my laptop. But these young people, like Tasia, she can handle that cell phone. That's a computer. That's a walking computer, and she can do anything with it. By the time I text a message, I could have already called you two times in the time it takes it. Because every time I put my thumb, like I see a young people, it puts the wrong number. Then I got to erase it and go back. And I don't see how they can do that. And they don't miss a beat. I don't see how they can do that. But they're kind of raised in that generation. So Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus that in John, the third chapter, the sixth verse, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what's born of the Spirit is spirit. So the most important part of us is our spirit. Not the body, not the soul. The spirit is the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. And then the soul is the realm, the mental realm. And how many of us realize that you know, the reason we go to college is because we want to feed our soul. We go to YouTube and watch videos because we want to feed our soul. Soul is real. And then body. Body is the last part. Body needs to be fed as well. Otherwise, we'll be anorexic, malnutrition, you know, and everything, and we'll die. But you know what? I thank God that this morning I didn't eat breakfast. But guess what? I normally don't eat breakfast until after church. But Pastor CC went to Rose's, and they had $3 for $1 that peanut brittle. So she bought me 3 of them. So this morning when I was sitting by the bed reviewing the word, I saw that peanut brittle, and I ate the whole bar. Ate the whole bar. So now I broke my fast because I saw that peanut brittle sitting there. But you know what? Just because I did that, God's not going to condemn me. It's just something I want to do. I like to say, well, I want to be consecrated. I don't want to feed my body until I deliver the word. And singers know about that too. Singers know about that too. Junior I put it like this. He shouldn't eat a 3-course meal and then try to get up on the stage. Yeah. Most singers know that when your body is full and your stomach is full, you know where all your blood goes to try to digest that food? Right to your stomach. And you don't sing as good because you feel almost bloated. Hmm? What's that, babe? Oh, Curtis. Oh, what comment about
it? When you're full, it obstructs your airway, and so it's hard to breathe and support your voice, so it makes it hard to sing.
Curtis sings and everything. Nobody ever asked me to sing professionally, so I've never done that. In fact, they pay me to not sing. We'll pay you to just quit. Oh, yeah. Oh, I get a half a hit because they wouldn't even watch it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be so horrible. What's that guy that got all them hits and he was horrible singing? What was that guy's name?
William Hung?
Yeah, I don't know his name, but my goodness.
William Hung.
Okay. This guy could not sing, not a lick. He was horrible. And Junior and D was showing me the video and just laughing. I said, leave that man alone. Yeah.
James Kenna.
And there's this one guy in there talking about he was going to be the next Johnny Gill. I said, oh, Lord.
Crash cut.
Right here.
Crash
he
cut.
He's
going to
be the next Johnny Gill.
Yeah.
Somebody please tell that brother the truth. He cannot sing. But anyway, you know, one thing about it, we were talking about before, Tiffany, before you got here, we were talking about how me and you and all of your family, almost all of your family, went to the Navy, or the military, some kind of way, Army, Navy. And you, see, we went to the best service, right? The Army. We ain't gonna hold it against when they was in the Navy, you know. Oh no, that's not gonna happen. They didn't draft them. America's never drafted women in the world because they know, you know why they don't draft women? What you see one shot of a woman getting killed in battle and the mayor's gonna be upset. They can't take it. In Israel, in Germany, I don't care what gender you are, you're gonna serve 2 years in the military. Now the women in Germany, they don't go to war. But they do serve support. They serve support, but they don't deploy. The men die in battle. In Israel, the women fight, but they deploy, but they have them in the rear. It would be a good thing if every nation, including America, will make when they graduate from high school. You ain't going to college. You going to the Army. You going to some branch of the service to serve your country. They would teach discipline. And then when they get to college, they would have the discipline, maturity to where they wouldn't, you know, we have some of our relatives that have kids where their parents sacrifice to go to college. And guess what they do? They stay there for a year, and then all of a sudden they get the pink slip, and then they home. Because they didn't attend no college. They didn't attend no classes. They partied. They rolled around. They stayed at the student union center and played ping pong and you know, and all that crazy stuff. But they were spending their parents' money and wouldn't even attend in classes. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? But it's true. So the thing is, the military teaches you discipline. If they had went to the military first, they wouldn't understand. No, they would have known, oh, I got to be here because I see my purpose down the road being fulfilled. But when mama just gives it and daddy gives it all to you and you don't have to pay it back and everything like that, you mess it up. You mess up. Let me tell you something with my stupid self. I'm raising both hands with how stupid I was. Now, I went to Afro-American school, Carver High. And back then, it was segregated. And then when I graduated, they segregated with European-American teachers. But after the year I left, they bust some of the European-American kids kicking and screaming to integrate the school. But one year I graduated, they integrated European American teachers. And then they sent some of our Afro-American teachers to their schools. And that's how they started integrating the schools. And I graduated in 1971. So I went to Carver High, and I put it like this. None of the guidance counselors told me about how to get scholarships and didn't tell me about how to, you know, get grants and all this other stuff. So what it was, I worked all during the summer to make enough tuition money so I can go to Columbus College. And I saved it up in the bank, and I paid my tuition. I bought my books. And guess what I did with my stupid self? I'm paid my own money to go to college. Didn't need no scholarship, no grant. I probably would have, if nobody told me about it, I would have qualified. But anyway, make a long story short. Some of the guys say, hey, man, let's go off campus and let's do this and that and other. Hey, let's go. Hey, you know, let's go to this other school over here, man, and see what the ladies are doing over there. Me, my stupid self, I got in the car with them, skipped my classes. And then guess what I got from the school? I got my letter. Say, you are no longer eligible to attend this college. And man, you know what I did? I went back and I pleaded, begged them, and then anyway, make a long story short, they let me come back. But I was on probation. And then I got my lesson, did what I was supposed to do. That's ignorance gone to seed. I had to work for that semester of college in my books. And then I skipped class, hanging out with the fellas. That's stupid. So don't think I'm perfect, Curtis. Don't think. See, you're not gonna do like Grandpa. You're gonna go to college and not skip class and you're gonna do what's good. So you can learn from my mistake, Alexis. I don't think I told you that, but you can learn from my mistake. So don't do what Grandpa did. I had rocks in my head for brains, right? But just to let you know, I'm vulnerable too. You know. You know what? You know why George Myers is so popular? She lets everybody know she's human. Every time she talks about Dave, man, I feel sorry for Dave. I want to just drop to my knees and start praying for her. Oh, yeah. And that's why God gave her Dave, because he can handle it. And she would get so upset because Dave didn't get upset about something that happened. And Dave just say, "What are you worried about?" And that would make her mad that she wouldn't. Yeah, but, and Dave wanted to play golf, and he was just be content to go play golf and let the stress out. And it bothered her because she was having so much challenges in the ministry and stuff, and Dave wouldn't put them on his back. She was called to preach. Dave was called to support her and be her husband. So he knew his place, right? He knew his calling. But a lot of stuff that she did to him, man, I say, man, how does Dave stick with her? But see, that's why people know, listen to her, because she's vulnerable. She didn't say, I never make a mistake. I'm holier than thou. And a lot of times we put preachers on pedestals. And then we make them demigods. And they can't let none of their personal problems get on the airwaves. But see, you gotta be real. You gotta be real. You gotta be human. Let me say this. I don't care what is happening with your children or whatever. And sometimes they go off the rocker. You know, sometimes I went off, right? But they'll always come back to what you planted in their heart. So I told God, I said, look, I don't care if none of my children serve you. That has nothing to do with what me serving you or not. Because I know your promises are true, and they're going to have to come back. But even if they go off on the wrong turn, guess what? I'm still going to serve you. That's not going to stop me from serving you. Look at Job as an example. Job said, Yet if he slay me, I'll still serve him. So Job said, even if God kill me, I'm still going to serve him. All his children did. His house burned down. He lost all his cattle, all his goods. He lost everything. But God gave him double for his trouble. He had more children, and he had twice the wealth that he had before. But because he wouldn't curse God and die. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you talk like a foolish woman. So he didn't reject God, even though, in fact, we know the story. Satan went before God and said, look, yeah, you blessed Job. That's why he loves you. But let me put my hand on him and see how much he loves you. So God said, okay, you can do it, but you can't kill him. Do whatever you want to do, my servant. He was bragging on Job. You know, God wants to brag on us. You know something? Pastor CC's word for 2020 is win. And when I read it on the internet, it said that we're going to have challenges. We're going to have obstacles. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. One of my best friends, and then growing up, his name was Billy. And we lived on base. And he was a European American. And but he was my best friend. And I would do everything I could for him. And it was like we were in the eighth grade. And one time, I don't know why or why I did this, but one time some people egged me to say, he don't like you. He just want to be cool and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, make a long story short, we were outside on the playground, and people egged us on to fight each other. And so what happened is, I was small and I was wiry, but Billy, he could throw a punch too. Anyway, make a long story short, I fought him. We fist fought. You know, back then there wasn't no guns, there wasn't no knives and all that stuff. You just fist fight. But anyway, I won. But then after that, I came back. I lost, really. And I came back and I apologized that I listened to, you know, people on the playground. And because he was really my best friend, we came back to be good friends again. But I would have never known, really, that I could beat him unless I tried. So, you know, so I knew, okay, well, I can beat him and everything like that. But the thing is, I shouldn't have did it. It was peer pressure that caused me to do it. And he was a Caucasian guy, and it was mostly people like us on the playground that egged me to fight him. And I fought my best friend, really. But so sometimes we got to listen to the the spirit of God and what God is telling us and not go off on be led by the flesh. Okay, so today's topic is how to train your human spirit to win. So we want to win, right? Who wants to lose? The Patriots last night, and I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I wanted Patriots to lose. You know why? Because they've been caught in, they're a good team. Tom Brady does not want to lose. But you don't have to cheat to win. Come on. They've been cheating everything. They had, the last scandal was they had somebody go on the sidelines of the opposite team and videotape everything, even including what they were saying and stuff like. And then they went back to their clubhouse, went back to their locker room later on, and they listened to those tapes and everything, and they learned a strategy. That's wrong. That's wrong on all points. When they had Deflate, where he was banned from the game, come on now, you know that the football wouldn't completely blow up. But a ball that's soft, you can hold on to it better. So he was, the receiver was catching the ball and everything, and then all of a sudden somebody took wind and waited, saw that it was light in there, all their balls. But see, when you go on there, they take your balls, but somebody in the locker room or something went back and let air out of them balls. Oh, quite naturally, they didn't fumble the ball because it had less wind. But when somebody puts the gun down the field, it'd be so hard and stuff. Sometimes it's the pressure that makes you lose it. But if it's soft, you can hold on to it. So the Patriots, they've been in scandal after scandal after scandal. And just win just because you're good. Don't cheat to win. So I was happy last night. And Cecilia was saying, you shouldn't be hating. I said, no, I'm not hating. I said, look, they cheat. And they're cheaters. Let them lose. Now, if they win by their own natural ability, then so be it. But you don't have to cheat. Tom Brady is like Michael Jordan was. Michael Jordan don't want to lose. He didn't want to lose. That's why they won so many championships. That's why they got that crazy guy to do the rebounding that married himself. What was his name? Yeah, Dennis Rodman. Yeah, he married himself. Yeah, with a wedding gown. With a wedding gown. He put a wedding gown and married himself. But guess what? On the court, he was the best rebounder that there was on the planet. That's why they tolerated him. Michael Jordan couldn't stand him off the field, off the court, but he loved him on the court because he wanted to win. He tolerated Dennis Rodman just because he was a rebounder. And nobody could out-rebound him. Let's turn to this Hebrews 12 and 9. Now let me say something. When God tells you to do something, you know what? We're free moral agents. God can tell us to do something, but guess what? Do we have to obey? Sometimes we'll say no. It'll grieve the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, but sometimes we just don't want to do it. So let's go to Hebrews 12 and 9. Hebrews 12 and 9. And this admonishes us what we really should do when the Spirit of God speaks to us. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, right? So Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Okay, so let's see what was happening. Hebrews 12 and 9. It said, Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us. Now guess what? My dad was in the military, in the army. A lot of times he'd go on a deployment. Sometimes I might act up around my mother with my dad gone. But one thing about it, my mother would whoop me till she got tired. And then if she was still mad, she'd say, I'm going to tell your father when he get home. And I'd be begging her, please don't tell. Please don't tell. I do right. I do anything. You know, and I was trying to bargain with her before my daddy got home, because my daddy, he didn't whip me till he got tired, but he had an army belt. He'd hit you maybe one or two licks. But you go in the bathroom, close the door, and you know what he'd do? He talked to you for about 30 minutes to an hour. And I wish he just whipped me, gave me them two licks and let me go. That was worse than a whooping. So, yeah, so I didn't want it. My dad would, you know, son, we didn't raise you like that. You do wrong. Now, you disrespected your mother. And when you disrespect your mother, you disrespect me. You understand that, son? And I said, yes, sir. And he keep on talking, keep on going on and on and on. And I said, oh, Lord, but I couldn't say that. Just whoop me. Give me a two. I had to sit through that. Oh, yeah. Spare not the rod and spoil the child. My mother believed in that. Well, you know what? I'm going to say that's probably a little bit too hard, but let me tell you something. My mother with seven kids, and she took out in public, she didn't have to correct her. All she did is gave that eye. Oh, we straightened right up. But we knew who was coming. You know, who was next. And don't let her have to take off her shoe and wear us out. Oh, you acted up in public. I'm going to discipline you in public. And so like I say, I don't think it was child abuse because she, you know, hit us on the soft side or whatever. She didn't hit us in the face with her shoe or anything like that. But if she had a belt or one of the boys, give me that your belt. And if you had to take the belt off, well, we'd be glad to do it. We wouldn't get in the whooping, right? So. Hey, it ain't my hair. Hey. Quick, here, Mom. Here. Kenny, here. This is for Kenny here, Mom. So, yeah. In fact, my mother used to make us, if we were home, she'd make us go get a switch. And we had a peach tree and a plum tree. And you know, those are wiry. Those don't break. And guess what? It wasn't my whooping. I get the biggest switch I can find. I was sent out to get the a switch for Ronnie or for Kenny. It wasn't my. I'm not. It's not my whooping. Yeah. But that was not child abuse. Okay, it was training us up in the way we should go. But oh yeah, peace trees. Oh my goodness, you been a recipient of one of those? Praise God. Oh yeah, no, we were saying this. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. When my dad was, I was sitting on the tub while he was talking to me about what I did while he was gone. I gave my dad reverence. I didn't have other choice. I never seen my dad get really mad, and I'm glad I didn't. He never did. He just soft-spoken, and even when he getting ready to whoop us, he was still soft-spoken. But it would be too little licks, and it was over. Shall we not much rather be in subject unto the Father's spirits and live? So God, we should obey God. Now, one thing about it, God makes everything for us to win. He gives it everything to win. Like I say, we're the most blessed generation that's ever lived. We got YouTube. We got Bible Gateway. We got Bible apps. Man, we loaded. We load it for bear. We load it for bear. You know, when you go loading for bear, you can't use buckshot like you can squirrel. You shoot a bear with buckshot and see what's gonna happen. You're gonna be ate alive. That bear will maul you and everything. No, when you shoot a bear, you gotta use some real high power bullets, not buckshot. High piercing, yeah, because a bear, if you don't get him in the first shot, he's coming after you. You wounded him, he's gonna come after you. My granddad, Johnson, and both of them, they used to hunt. And what we would do, they would shoot rabbits and squirrel. Well, guess what? The only problem about that, they used the buckshot, right? Is scatter. And when you are eating the meat, you have to spit pellets out. Yeah. Spit the pellets out, metal pellets. You have to spit it out. Yeah, it just be in the meat, chained in the meat. Well, you knew it. You just eat it. You're going to eat some pellets. But we eating, right? Okay, so we train our human spirit by getting into God's presence and getting into the Word and letting the Spirit of God speak to us. Amen? So, and it, guess what? It takes time to do that, right? Say it takes time to do that. You know what? I'm not going to say it's all the devil because, you know, sometimes I just get so tired from work. I can sit up and watch about 3 of them binge shows or whatever. And guess what? New Year's, we're supposed to watch James Bond movies, right? We're supposed to watch about 3 or 4 because Hulu had like a 4 or 5 of them. They're going to show all of them. And we were supposed to watch them. The first James Bond movie that came on, I don't know when, but some way, somehow, someplace, I was sitting right there, sleep. I was like this, watching James Bond. And then, I don't know what time it happened, or what moment, next thing I know, James Bond was watching me. And guess what? She know me now, so she don't even bother anymore. Come on, you need to go to bed. I said, okay, I'm coming. And she come back 5 minutes. Okay, I'm coming. And so now she said, okay, all right. She used to give me a blanket, but now Lexi come out and throw a blanket on me or whatever. Because I was like the grumpy old man on that. And I guess she got tired of that. Okay. All right, you want to sleep right there? Go ahead. Be my guest. Alexis, okay. But anyway, we know the number one way we train our human spirit, we got to spend quality time with God in His Word. You know why? You know why we get in the Word? It's not for us. It's for somebody else. It's for somebody else. The Word that you study and the Word that you hide in your heart, it's not for you. It's for somebody else. Spirit of God will bring it up to your remembrance when somebody needs that Word so you can be a blessing. So guess what? Anybody can say, I go to such and such church. But if you don't read your Bible and you don't obey what the pastor says, guess what? You're a renegade. You can't help nobody because you can't even help yourself. You know what? You wear your feelings on your sleeve. And anybody say anything to you, then all of a sudden you're out of fellowship with God. So you read the Word for you, but it's not for you. It's for somebody else. So you got to train your human spirit. And guess what? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. So that's why you want to get the Word, hide the Word in your heart. And it takes sweat equity to do it. Amen? So I thank God for your time and I thank God for your patience. And like I say, in 2020, I'm going to go ahead and train my human spirit and feed my human spirit so that I'll be a powerful Christian. You know what our goal is in the Made Whole Ministry? To make every member a strong Christian. Every member being able to stand on their own 2 feet and square up with the Word of God and square up against the enemy. Now, guess what? I'm going to say something. The more power you want, the more blessing you want, guess what? You're going to have bigger enemies. But your enemies promote you. If it wasn't for Goliath, David would have never been promoted to be king. So your enemies promote you. So 2020, will our enemies go away? No. But we can see them coming. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. And the word that we store inside of will keep us. Amen. It'll keep us. David, when his men spoke of stoning him because in Ziklag, because the women and the children have been taken and the goods have been taken. And they talked to David about really just stoning him. No, David didn't say nothing to his men. You know what he did? He went and inquired of the Lord. He said, shall we pursue? And David said, yeah. God told David, yeah, go and pursue. He says, you shall recover all. You shall recover all. And so we're finished. But we're not through. So I'm at this time, I thank God for each and every one of you. And in this year, next Sunday, we're going to, executive pastor said that we're going to go ahead and do that, the subscriber benefits with USA. We're going to do it next Sunday. We're going to do it next Sunday. Because it was, I think she was on 2-week break. And so she conferred to me and said, Let's do it one more week when we come back. And I said, okay, we'll do it then. And so you have your statements, and then also you have your subscriber benefit checks next Sunday. That's when we're going to do it. And so, she was on break, and so she went back on break. But you know what? You know when our anniversary was? The 2nd of January, right? 2nd of January. I put in for the day for leave. Denied. So, like a good CR, good employee, I went to work. So, then they had one more week, so she went to Brunswick to go spend time with her mom. And I'm glad she did, because her mom's 83 years old. I wish I had the opportunity to spend time with my mom, but my mom's gone. Yeah, she passed in what year, do you remember? 2001. So 2001, she never saw Curtis, but my granddad did, his granddad, of course. And so she never saw, so it's been, that was 19 years ago. I would love the opportunity for my mother to be, I could spend time with her. So I understand her mother's in good health, thank God, and everything. She's not on her deathbed, and she's in good health and everything. And she can drive, guess what, when she comes to, She drives herself. And when she brings her niece, Nella drives the passenger seat. My mother-in-law drives. And one time we were taking her to the hotel, because she came here and stayed and they spent the night. Man, I couldn't hardly keep her with my mother-in-law. It's a good thing I know where they were going. I might have lost her. Yeah, 83 years old and zoop, zoop, zoop. No, she didn't slow down. She didn't slow down. And I think her daughter got a little bit of that heavy foot. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for 2020. Thank God for 2020. 2020 is going to be a year that we win, amen? That we win, that we're more than conquerors, that we overcome. And that's what my word was for the day, the word I gave the word today. But then Beverly, they gave the word also.